are listening to WMPG, Gorham, Portland, radio from the University of Southern Maine, 90.9.
Latinos and Our Latin Thing are coming together for an evening of music, dancing, and great Latin vibes. Join us on Friday, August 15th at Orange Bike Brewing from 4 to 7 p.m. or tune in to WMPG from 5:30 to 7 to catch a live transmission. That's right! Sergio and Rosita are bringing the Latin flair to Orange Bike Brewing for an evening of fun, friends, and dancing. You don't want to miss out on this great collaboration. August 15th, 4 to 7 p.m., Orange Bike Brewing, Portland, Maine. See you there.
Hello! You are listening to what is usually the Love Ship on WMPG, the second Sunday of every month. But this month, we are joined by two very special guests live here in the studio. We've got Janine.
Hi, everybody. I'm happy to be back.
Yeah, that's right. Janine was here last October.
October, November, yeah.
For a very special Friends-themed episode around the anniversary of Matthew Perry's death. We did an all-Friends themed show.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, it was great.
And we're also joined by Kathleen.
Hi.
So happy to have you here. It's a bit of a takeover. Janine and Kathleen are bringing us a version of their podcast, right?
Yes. Yep. So we do a podcast. Basically, what we have done for this podcast is we select books that were featured or mentioned on Gilmore Girls and Friends. The podcast is appropriately titled From Manhattan, since Friends is set in New York City, to Stars Hollow, which is the fictional town in Connecticut that Gilmore Girls is based in. So we start off this podcast today, before we get into the stuff related to Friends and Gilmore Girls fully, to talk about disability awareness, because Kathleen and I take an art class at Double House Arts here in Portland, where Amelia is one of our teachers, and we're here to raise awareness for disability rights, because as people who follow what's going on in the world know, Donald Trump is trying to take away all of the rights of people, people with disabilities, reproductive rights, etc. And we're here to use this platform to speak out against how angry this makes us feel. So to introduce myself to you all a little bit, I'm just going to read the opening pages of the book my mom and I co-wrote together called We Want to Go to School, The Fight for Disability Rights, so you can learn a little bit about my disability. Hi, I'm Janine. When I was a kid, it took me a long time to learn to walk, to talk and walk. My muscles are weak. I was born with something called cerebral palsy, or CP for short. I learned to read before I could talk, but I needed help doing lots of other things. So, when I was 3 years old, I took a bus every day to a public school in my town. I had lots of teachers. I had a classroom teacher, a teacher to help me build my muscles, physical therapist, a teacher to help me learn to talk, speech therapist, and a teacher to help me learn to use my hands, occupational therapist. From one school year to the next, I learned side by side with my friends. Together we laughed, played, studied, worked on projects, and cheered. I needed help along the way and extra time to get things done, but I was always part of the class. It is the same way for other kids with disabilities all around America. But one day I read that it hadn't always been that way. And then the book continues on to talk about the disability rights law that was passed in the 1970s. That was originally called... I forgot to write that down.
Is it the ADA law?
Yeah.
Americans with Disabilities Act?
Yeah, and then it was changed to IDEA in 1992 when George Bush was president. So, this law impacted me because it allowed me to go to public school and to thrive and get the services I needed. But under the Trump administration, these services are going to potentially be taken away for future kids with disabilities. Kathleen, how did this law impact you?
I was able to be in like all mainstream classes through middle school and high school because of the American with Disabilities Act, and I was able to, and that required me to have a ed tech in all my classes for help.
And Amelia, does this law like impact Paul and his services, and like what do you think what Donald Trump is trying to do will impact him?
Ugh, I've been keeping my head in the sand because it's too scary. Yeah, I have an 8-year-old who has a disability, and he's been in public school his whole life. He's beloved. He's like the school mascot. Everyone loves him so much. And he gets all his services. Yeah, speech, occupational, physical. So it would greatly impact our lives if these services were taken away. It's been really positive for him, and I think for everybody that meets him.
We love when Paul comes to Double House. He's so much fun, and so is your other child, Lily. We had fun hanging out with them when they came during April vacation.
Yeah, I think Paul helped record the last podcast.
He did.
He was very helpful.
He was very helpful to us. Yes, indeed.
Okay, should we play another tune? Or
of course, yeah.
Do you want to tell us about Run and Tell That?
Run and Tell That is from the musical Hairspray. This movie is set in 1960s during the Civil Rights Movement, and it is sung by the character Seaweed, who is having his rights impacted by civil rights, and he is singing the song to Tracy Turnblad, the main character, who later encourages him to speak for him and his sister to speak up for their rights. His sister's name is Little Inez, and she is my favorite character in that whole entire musical, besides Tracy, of course.
Incredible. All right, Run and Tell That. Here we go.
Deep as the river, it's close to the sky. I can't see the reason
Okay, we just heard Run and Tell That from the musical Hairspray, and I am joined in the studio by Janine and Kathleen. This is a very special takeover of the Love Ship. I'm going to turn it back over to Janine.
Okay, so I would like to read a poem that I wrote back in the wintertime when Donald Trump first got elected, about how upset his policies are making me. So I will begin. Fight for disability rights. I am a fighter, fighting with the passion of 1,000 blazing fires, with a gut-wrenching fear of tomorrow, an uncertain future. We can't go back. Let us fight for our rights and the justice we deserve. Don't let others bring us down. I am a dreamer, waking up every morning with the glowing sunrise, with hope in my heart for a new day, a better tomorrow. We can't go back. I am a warrior, fighting with the passion of 1,000 blazing fires. The flame is our wars, which will light our way. Fight. The next song we are playing is Seize the Day from Newsies, which is set in the 1900s about the newsboy strike. So the next thing we're going to talk about is neurodiversity in Friends and Gilmore Girls. Now, the directors of these TV shows, I do not know if they intentionally planned to have their characters be neurodivergent, but watching Friends and Gilmore Girls recently, like not when I was younger, when I watched Friends, I wasn't really paying attention. But more recently, I have noticed that there are certain characters in this show and in Gilmore Girls who are who could possibly be neurodiverse. I don't know if this was the intention of the directors of Friends, Marta Kaufman, Kevin Bright, and David Crane or Amy Sherman Palladino and Daniel Palladino, who were the directors of Gilmore Girls. So the characters I think could be neurodivergent are Phoebe and Monica and maybe Ross. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I would have to agree that I feel like all three of those would be neurodivergent. I can kind of see it in their personalities.
Monica definitely has obsessive compulsive disorder because she is
super OCD.
Definitely. Yeah. And the reason why I think Ross is neurodivergent, well, actually, I read this in an article online. I can't remember what blog I found it on, but this person wrote this article about how Ross and Monica could be neurodiverse, and one thing that they said is that Ross is hyperfixated on a special interest, which is, of course, dinosaurs and paleontology. And with Phoebe, I mean, she's very focused on one thing. Like, I remember watching the episode, the one where no one's ready, where they're getting ready for Ross's fancy dinner at the museum, and Chandler and Joey get hummus on Phoebe's yellow dress, so she has to go put something to cover up the stain, and she comes out of Monica's bedroom wearing Rachel's bedroom wearing a Christmas bow over the stain, and she's saying, "Oh, I guess I'm gonna be political tonight." And Chandler is like, "Why are you political?" "Because of Christmas." So, and I'm trying to think about, I mean, Chandler obviously has anxiety, but I don't know if that counts as being neurodiverse. But I know I can relate to him very well because of that, because I have generalized anxiety. And for Gilmore Girls, when I was talking to my sister about this on vacation a couple of weeks ago, she was saying that Lane could possibly be neurodiverse because she is hyperfixated on rock music and keeping her rock and roll interests a secret from her mom. But I think Lorelai could also possibly be neurodiverse because she could be ADHD, and Paris maybe, because she's kind of like Monica. She's like OCD, but instead of focus on cleaning, she's focused on like getting good grades and going to Harvard, though. As we know from the episode that we saw about a few months ago, we know that she doesn't get in.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, but that's her fault because she focused too much on her relationship with Jamie and not enough
on education.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The next song we're gonna play tonight is Freak Flag from Shrek the Musical. I have been in Shrek the Musical twice. Once as a villager, a skeleton, and a moon in a travel song scene in 2016 with the Amherst PTA in Amherst, New Hampshire, and once in August 2022 with the Friends of the Amato Center at the Boys and Girls Club of Sohegan Valley in Milford, New Hampshire, where I was in the Fairy Tale Creature Ensemble as the Scarecrow. And I had a lot of fun being in this show, and I have a lot of fond memories of being in it. And to set the scene for this song, the fairy tale creatures have been excavated from Shrek Swamp to another place. And the gingerbread man, Gingy, basically is encouraging the rest of the fairy tale creatures to stand up against Lord Farquaad, who, I hate to say it, seeing this musical more recently when I went to see my friends in it in Windham, New Hampshire in the springtime, Lord Farquaad makes me think of Trump. But yeah, I love this song. It's my favorite song in the whole entire musical, Freak Flag from Shrek the Musical.
Listen up, puppet. We spent our whole lives wishing we weren't so freaking strange. They made us feel that way, but it's they who need to change.
The way they think, that is.
Yes, yes.
It's time to stop the hiding. It's time to stand up tall. Say, hey world, I'm different. And here I am, splinters, no.
I raise my furry fist.
So the next song we're playing is from the musical 17 again, which was pretty short-lived on Broadway. I didn't even get to see it, and it's not playing right now. I don't know if it's going to tour, but the musical is based on the 2009 movie that stars Zac Efron from High School Musical and Matthew Perry, and we are going to be discussing the movie a little bit later on. But this song is called Love You Till Forever, and I haven't seen the musical, but if I could think of a scene in the musical, in the movie, where this song would fit, it would probably be when Michael O'Donnell in his 17-year-old body is in the health class with his daughter Maggie, and he's talking about like birth and having a baby and holding his daughter for the first time in the hospital. And I would imagine this is something that he might say to his daughter when she was little, or something like that. So this song is dedicated to my family because they are always supportive of me and whatever I do. But this episode of the podcast is dedicated to my aunt Marie, who recently passed away on July 21st. Her funeral was this past weekend on Friday. And I'm going to really miss her. I really always used to enjoy talking to her about books. And I think she would have really loved this podcast, and we probably would have had good conversations about the books we're going to talk about tonight and all of the books that we have already talked about and the books we're going to talk about in the future. I'm really going to miss her. So this is I Love You Till Forever from 17 Again, the musical.
In your eyes, something's beginning. In your eyes, all of my dreams take flight with a simple, solemn vow. Life is starting here and now. I'll be there whenever you need a friend. I'll be there, don't ever doubt it. Lonely nights at an end, we can pick a star in the sky, make a wish for you and I. Oh, I'll love you till forever. You'll
you'll always have my heart. I'll be with you wherever our days may take us, despite how winds may shake us to our core. Oh, I'll love you till forevermore.
Years from now, today will be far away. Years from now, will we remember? Years from now, when we are old and gray, I'll recall what we went through. Thankful it was all with you. Oh, I'll love you till forever. You'll always have my heart.
I'll be with you wherever our days may take us, despite how winds may shake us to
forevermore. Okay, so the next, as we move into more of the focus of the books and movies we were reviewing for the podcast, the next song is from Kids in America. Kids in America by the Muffs, which is the opening song for the movie Clueless, starring Alicia Silverstone, Stacey Dash, Brittany Murphy, and Paul Rudd. So, for those of you who are not familiar with Paul Rudd, he was in this movie before he was on Friends, playing Mike Hannigan, and then more recently, he has been in the Marvel superhero movies as Ant-Man. So I highly recommend, if you have not seen Clueless, see Clueless. If you have not seen any episodes of Friends with Mike in it, they're closer to the end of the series in seasons 8, 9, and 10. And then Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, was like a 9-star movie for us. So, yeah, this next song is the opening number for the movie Clueless from 1995.
Looking out a dirty old window, outside the cars in the city go rushing by. I sit here alone and I wonder why.
Kids in America. Everybody's
Okay, we're back. So, Clueless is a modern reinterpretation of Jane Austen's Emma for the generation of the 1990s. So, did you get the chance to also read Emma, Amelia?
Oh, I've read it at some point, but so not in the nearest future.
If you have seen the movie Clueless before, would you say it's a pretty good reinterpretation of Emma?
Yeah, definitely. I remember seeing when Clueless came out, I feel like there was like a period piece and like a movie of Emma that came out around the same time too.
Yeah, like we also watched the 1996 Emma movie recently too.
When did Clueless come out?
Clueless came out in 1995, and a TV series was on CBS and UPN in 1996.
Yeah, so it beat the Emma movie version by a year.
Yeah,
like it came out a year before. That's interesting. I wonder if they like talk to each other at all.
Well, Amy Heckerling, who did the movie script for the Clueless movie, also did the TV show script. And I was watching a video about 90s movies, and I guess before Clueless was going to be a movie, according to this video that I just watched this video literally before I came here tonight, Clueless was supposed to be a TV show before it was made into a movie, but they decided to make a movie first.
Oh.
I think the movie is a little bit better than a TV show.
Matt and I
have watched one episode of the TV show that has to deal with underage drinking and driving, and we compared it to the episode of Growing Pains that Matthew Perry was on when he played the college boyfriend of Carol Seaver, and both of those episodes are extremely gut-wrenching to watch because obviously somebody dies in a drunk driving accident. And the thing that I liked from the Clueless show is that actually teenagers did a PSA, like the teenage actors of the TV show did a PSA at the end of the episode to say don't drink and drive, but at the end of the Growing Pains episode you just get like words stating statistics about driving drunk, which I preferred the... If I had seen this TV show of Clueless when it was originally airing in the 90s, I probably would have really appreciated... Not that I was ever a drinker. I don't know if you guys were drinkers, but I never was.
I went
to one party in college and regretted getting drunk the next day because my mom called me and I was hungover.
Aww.
But yeah, I mean, in high school, I was the most not biggest party person ever. Like, I didn't understand the glamour between all the reasons why all of my other friends would go to parties that they would get in trouble and possibly get arrested for drinking at. Like, I just never saw the appeal. And I never also saw the appeal for college frat parties either, because I was invited to one of those by one of my other friends who... I was really close to. Her name was Erin. She actually died a couple of years ago, and I really miss her a lot. But, she invited me to her frat party, and I was like, I hate it here. Why did I come? Because people were falling over drunk, and the music was too loud, like sensory overload, wicked bad, and I didn't have fun. And I almost thought about pledging to a sorority, but going to that party made me change my mind. I'm like, no. I'm staying away. What did you think of Emma?
I actually really enjoyed it.
So did I.
Yeah.
It was my first time reading it.
I think it's a really well-written book.
And so is Pride and Prejudice.
I think Jane Austen does an amazing job with her like storylines and the characters.
Yeah.
Totally.
So I think the cutest part of Clueless is the scene where Cher and her friend Dion are matching up their teachers. I think the relationship between the two teachers is like adorable. I just love the scenes that they're in together when they're dating. It's so cute. So yeah, what would you give Clueless for a rating?
4.5
out of five.
Yeah, because I feel
so
like
on IMDb it's like
it's 10.
It's out of 10, and for Goodreads the books are out of 5. So like Emma I would give 4 out of 5, and for Clueless it would be like 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. 8.5, maybe.
Yeah.
Nostalgia value.
For sure. And of course, Paul Rudd is adorable. Like, so into celebrity crushes for just a second. I had a crush on a lot of celebrity actors when I was a teenager. Paul Rudd was one of them. Chad Michael Murray was one from Gilmore Girls and Freaky Friday. Matthew Perry, of course, but I mean, he was a lot older than me, so that kind of doesn't sit right with me now because he was old enough to be my dad, so I don't know about that one anymore.
Oh, my first crush was Paul McCartney when I was like 9, so you know, he's old enough to be my grandfather.
But the other celebrity crushes I remember having were like the guy who played DJ's boyfriend on Full House, who was the voice of Aladdin, Scott, however you say his last name, Scott Weiner. I don't know how you say it. I also had a crush on John Stamos, Uncle Jesse, have mercy. And then, Ryder Strong from Boy Meets World, which was interesting. It's an interesting dynamic because right now I have a crush on the guy who plays Dean on Gilmore Girls. And in high school, I had a crush on Chad Michael Murray, who played Tristan, and Ryder Strong, who played Sean Hunter, Corey's best friend on Boy Meets World, who was, like, a rebel character. I don't know what the hell this says about me, but, you know, whatever. I guess you can't help what celebrities you have a crush on. Another crush I had was Jonathan Taylor Thomas from Home Improvement.
JTT.
Yeah. What about you? What about you for celebrity crushes, Kathleen?
I definitely... Mark Hamill's one from...
Oh, from Batman.
Yeah. From and Star Wars as well, and then I would say Chad Michael Murray.
What's he in?
He's a hard one to pass up.
What is he in?
He was in
Freaky Friday.
Freaky Friday.
He was in Freaky Friday, Gilmore Girls, and a Cinderella story with Hilary Duff.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I think he was cuter in a Cinderella story, but
totally. Matt and I watched a Cinderella story in like April or May, and like that was the first movie that I fell in love with Chad Michael Murray in. I saw Freaky Friday directly after, and then I didn't see Gilmore Girls until I met you. So
no, right?
Did you see? There's a new Freaky Friday out now.
Matt and I are seeing that Saturday.
Oh, nice. Matt is. Can I say he's your husband?
Matt is my partner. We've been together. We've known each other since college. We started dating in 2008. We had our commitment ceremony in 2019. We are celebrating our 5-year anniversary this October.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, and we're going to Vermont for a weekend in the middle of September to celebrate our anniversary a little bit early. So we're excited about our trip to Vermont.
That's awesome.
So the next song we're going to play is This Is Me from The Greatest Showman, which is another movie with Zac Efron in it that I like.
This one's like, if I'm remembering The Greatest Showman right too, it's like kind of on our theme of disability rights. Like,
right, exactly. Because
it's about the performers in the show that are like differently abled, right? Like
exactly, yeah.
Cool. All right, This Is Me.
me down. I'm gonna send a flood, gonna drown a mind. This is brave, this is bruised, this is who I'm meant to be, this is me.
To do our on-air, what do you call this again, Amelia?
Oh, yeah, a PSA from WMPG.
Okay, so our PSA today is for the Maine Women's Lobby. The Maine Women's Lobby has advocated for issues that affect the lives of Maine women and girls for over 40 years, working to create a future free from violence and discrimination with access to health care and economic security. For more information, go to mainewomen.org.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Okay, so now we are moving into the section of the radio show where we play songs that are related to my birthday. I'm turning 40 on the 26th. So we are playing songs that came out in 1985 or came out during the years that I was a teenager, which was 1997 to 2004. So the first song we're going to play is Raspberry Beret by Prince.
This one's from 1985, right?
It should be. I looked it up online, so it should be from 1985, yeah.
Sounds good. Raspberry Beret.
So cool when it hits the bottom roof. The horses wonder who you are.
we're playing is Summertime Girls, that is by who again?
YNT.
YNT. So the reason I picked this song tonight is because my birthday is in the summer. So that makes sense.
What kind of birthday parties did you have, Janine?
So when I was younger, my mom was the queen of planning birthday parties. Like, I would have a birthday party one year based on Aladdin, on A Little Mermaid, and we would play all... So in Massachusetts, where I grew up, I had this big, spacious backyard where we would play all these games, and then we would have cake and ice cream. I would just have the neighborhood kids and my friends from school over, and then, like, I would have a separate party for my family. So much fun. And then my favorite memory of a birthday when I was older was for my 30th birthday 10 years ago. I had a Broadway-themed hat party at my beach house in Massachusetts. And then when I went when I turned 16, I went with three of my girlfriends to see NSYNC at Gillette Stadium.
Oh my gosh. Incredible.
Yes. So when I watched the Clueless episode with Matt a couple of weeks ago, when we watched the episode about drunk driving, it shares 18th birthday, and people get in a car accident on the way home from her party. But NSYNC is the band who is giving a backyard concert to Cher for her 18th birthday. So I was able to relate to Cher in that episode because I also saw NSYNC in concert for my birthday. But I think her parents must have been really, really rich if they were able to get NSYNC to perform in her backyard.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
And like, in that episode, a grouchy neighbor calls to complain about the loud music, and I don't know which actor that was, because I don't think it was mentioned in the credits, but it sounded to me like Charlie Sheen from Two and a Half Men, who I don't really like. He's not one of my favorite actors. So, the next song is called Summertime Girls.
Yeah.
are listening to WMPG Gorham Portland, radio from the University of Southern Maine. You can also listen to us on WMPG.org or check out our app. Give us a call, 207-780-4909. You are listening to what is usually The Love Ship, the second Sunday of every month from 5 to 6:30 p.m. I'm your usual host, but today I am joined by Janine and Kathleen in the studio. We have been doing a takeover from the From Manhattan to Stars Hollow podcast and other wonderful topics. So thanks for being here, Janine and Kathleen.
Thank you for having us.
It's a pleasure. I've known Kathleen for ages, but Janine is a new friend. Yes. Anyway, I'm turning it over to Kathleen. Sorry.
The Portland Theater Festival continues its summer season with Make Beautiful by Bess Wahl, directed by Kat Robinson, running from July 24th to August 10th at the Portland Stage Studio. For tickets and full details of their summer festival, visit the portlandtheaterfestival.org.
Great. Yeah, Kathleen and I met literally 10 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
At Bomb Diggity. Yep. RIP. And then Janine and I, we've known each other for a couple of years now.
Yeah,
through Double House.
Yeah, we met through Double House Arts because you were coming to visit us before you became our teacher. So I've known you for like a year and a half or 2 years, probably, I think.
Yeah, Double House kind of grew out of Bum Diggity. If any of you listeners remember, Bum Diggity used to be a really awesome art gallery, studio, media production spot right on Congress Street. And then some artists from Bomb Diggity migrated over to Double House when Bomb Diggity closed. So, yeah, Double House Arts Collective is rad. It's on Spring Street. You should come to a first Friday. We often have art for sale. It's a really cool spot.
And at our next art show, we will have a lot of stuff from the last art show that we need to sell. So hopefully you will stop by to pick something up because we would love your support.
Yeah, it's good. You're going to find something you'll love. What's our next topic here? Sorry.
We are going to talk about Our Town by Thornton Wilder. So I first read this play when I was in ninth grade at Sohegan High School in Amherst, New Hampshire. And it was a fun play to read. It's set in a fictitious town called Grover's Corners, New Hampshire, which is based off the town of Peterborough, which was 45 minutes away from where I lived. And the character that I relate the most to is George Webb's mom, Julia, because I really want to go to Paris, and she talks in one of the scenes about wanting to go to Paris. What about you, Kathleen? What did you think of Our Town?
I think it was a really well-written play, and just beautifully scripted. So I actually really enjoyed it.
Me too. Okay, so the next song we're going to be doing is Dancing in the Key of Life by Stevie Wonder.
Actually, we're doing 1985 by Bowling for
Soup. Sorry, we couldn't find
the other one.
We couldn't find Dancing in the Key of Life, so we are skipping to 1985 from Bowling for Soup, which came out in 2009. So this is a more recent song than the rest of the songs we're doing in this set.
Nineteen eighty-five. almost fire. She rocked out to Wham! Not a big Limp Bizkit fan. Thought she'd get a hand on a member of Duran Duran. Where's the miniskirt made of snake skin? And who's the other guy that's singing in Van Halen? When did reality become TV? Whatever happened to sitcoms, game shows,
on the radio?
And bring back
Springsteen, Madonna, way before Nirvana. There was U2 and Blondie, and music still on MTV. Her two kids in high school, they tell her that she's uncool, 'cause she's still preoccupied. 1985. Springsteen, Madonna, way before Nirvana. There was U2 and Blondie, and music still on MTV. Her two kids in high school, they tell her that she's uncool, 'cause she's still preoccupied.
Hey, I'm your benevolent 80s overlord, Ron Raymond Jr., host of Stuck in the 80s. Every week, I will bring you a lexicon of the great 80s music you remember, and then some. Please do yourself a favor and tune in to Stuck in the 80s every Thursday morning from 3 to 5 a.m. only on WMPG 90.9 and on the archive at WMPG.org.
Sure, it's not 1985 right now, but who knows what tomorrow will bring.
That is so weird. I just picked that ad, that promo at random, and it said 1985 at the end, which
okay,
is the name of the
so,
song we just
yeah,
played.
That is such a good song. It's one of my favorite songs from when I was in college. So obviously I picked that song for tonight's show because I was born in 1985, and that also has a lot of references to stuff that was popular in 1985, Nirvana, Bruce Springsteen, etc. So the next song we are going to do is Summertime by DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, a.k.a. Will Smith.
Woohoo! Anything else we're talking about before we play it, or should we just go right into it?
Yeah, we can just go right into it.
All right, here we go.
Slightly transformed, just a bit of a break from the norm, just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves romance? Give me a soft, subtle mix, and if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. And think of the summers of the past, adjust the bass and let the alpine blast. Pop in my CD and let me run a rhyme, and put your car on cruise and lay back, 'cause it's summertime. And checking out the fellas to tell them who's best. Riding around in your Jeep or your Benzos, or in your Nissan sitting on Lorenzo's. Back in Philly, we be out in the park,
A place called the Plateau is where everybody go. Guys out hunting and girls doing likewise. Honking at the honey in front of you with the light eyes. She turned around to see what you beeping at. It's like the summer's a natural aphrodisiac. And with a pen and pad, I compose this rhyme to hip you and to get you equipped for the summertime. Short set. Yeah, I got on sneaks, but I need a new pair. Cause basketball courts in the summer got girls there. The temperature's about 88. Hop in the water plug, just for old time's sake. Break to your crib, change your clothes once more. Cause you're invited to a barbecue to start at 4. Sitting with your friends, as y'all reminisce about the days growing up and the first person you kiss. And as I think back, makes me wonder how the smell from a grill can spark off nostalgia. All the kids playing out front, little boys messing around with the girls playing double dutch. While the DJ spinning a tune as the old folks dance at your family reunion. Then 6 o'clock rolls around, you just finished wiping your car down. It's time to cruise, so you go to the summertime hangout. It looks like a car show. Everybody come looking real fine, fresh from the barbershop or fly from the beauty salon. Every moment frontin' and maxin', chillin' in the car, they spend all day waxin', leanin' to the side, but you can't speed through 2 miles an hour, so everybody sees you. There's an air of love and of happiness, and this is the Fresh Prince's new definition of summer madness.
Okay, so that song was Summertime by DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Prince Prince. Aside from Friends, another show I loved in the 90s growing up was obviously The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air with Will Smith. And my favorite character was probably Hillary. But the one with the best dance moves was Carlton. Do you guys remember the episode where he was dancing to It's Not Unusual by Tom Jones?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my God. He won Dancing with the Stars a couple of years ago, too. Alfonso, the guy who played Carlton, he was out Dancing with the Stars in, like, 2019 or something. So,
dang.
Yeah.
All right, you saw it coming.
So the next song we're going to play is Keep On from the Brady Bunch movie.
You know what? You can... sorry, I've been playing a song off of YouTube, which is terrible. But I think we're good to go. All right, hang on. Let's get this queued up. Keep On from the Brady Bunch movie.
Keep on, keep on, keep on.
Okay, so that was Keep On from the Brady Bunch movie. The Brady Bunch movie came out in 1995, and in this movie, the Brady kids enter a talent show to try to save their house from being sold. When I was living in Massachusetts, I was in a talent show at my summer camp, and me and my friends danced to the song. It was so much fun to dress up in bell bottoms to be like the Bradys. And my favorite Brady was probably, who did I like? Probably Jan or, the maid Alice. She was the best. She was so funny. I loved her. The next song is Tearing Up My Heart by NSYNC. Next, I'm going to read a chapter from my fan fiction that I'm working on currently, which is a spin-off to the Matthew Perry Memorial fan fiction I have been writing since 2023. This story focuses on my self-insert character, Jennifer Milius, and her relationships with her cousins. Savannah, who is an original character, who is Richard Burke's granddaughter. Trinity, who is loosely based off of Paris Geller from Gilmore Girls, and Gianna, who is loosely based off Rory from Gilmore Girls, and Ariana, who is loosely based off Wayne Kim. And all of the character names in this story have been changed due to copyright issues, because Amelia is helping me self-publish this, and I'm hoping to sell it at one of the upcoming Double House art shows. So if you're interested in buying a copy, you can let me know.
You could follow probably the easiest way to do that. Double House has an Instagram, so Double House Arts Collective, all one word, is the Instagram for the art studio where I met Kathleen, and, well, not where I met Kathleen, where I see Kathleen and where I met Janine.
Okay. For Christmas this year, we went to Star Valley, Connecticut to visit my second cousin, Trinity. I had never met her before, but my Uncle Wyatt and Auntie Carolyn wanted me to start making new friends since I left my old school to live with them in New York. We finally reached our hotel, the Blue Star Inn, and I was grateful to be out of the car. Carolyn had invited her brother James and his girlfriend Zoe along with us, and while I loved spending time with the three of them, laughing and chatting, I was more than ready to be by myself for a little bit. We walked into the reception area, and a girl my age was working at the front desk. She looked up and smiled at us. "Welcome to the Blue Star Inn. Do you have a reservation?" Uncle James cleared his throat. "Yes, under Geller. We have three rooms reserved." The girl's eyes connected with mine as she searched for the information. "Hi, I am Gianna. What's your name?" I smiled. "Jennifer. But my friends call me Jenny." I looked at her uniform. "Do you go to Florence Bakewell Academy?" Gianna nodded. "Yes. How did you know?" "I recognize the uniform. My cousin goes there. We're in town to visit her and her family. I'm actually going to visit her at Florence Bakewell tomorrow." "That's so cool. You should come over and say hi while she's in class. I can meet you by the entrance and give you a copy of my schedule. That way, you'll know where I am by the end if your cousin can't hang out." "Who's your cousin? I probably know her." Uncle James cleared his throat. "Our niece's name is Trinity Geller." Gianna looked at Uncle Ross, her smile slipping slightly. "Yeah, I know Trinity." I was desperate to know why her tone had changed, but I decided to put her out of her misery. I pointed to the book next to her on the desk. "What are you reading?" She exhaled, happy with the subject change. "Pride and Prejudice. Have you read it?" I shook my head. "No, but I liked Persuasion. Are you enjoying it?" She grinned. "Yeah, I bet you'll like it too." "I'm sorry, you two." Auntie Caroline squeezed my hand gently. "I know I've always been the outgoing one in the family, and I can tell my parents were less interested in the conversation than I was. I'd love to hear more about Pride and Prejudice, but some of us have been driving for a very long time and didn't have the luxury of sleeping in the back." "No problem, ma'am," Gianna said. "I'll get you your key, so we've got two doubles and a single. We're a double." Uncle Wyatt pointed to himself and Auntie Carolyn. "They're a double." He pointed to James and Zoe. Gianna handed out the keys accordingly and then turned to me. "Since you have your own room, do you want me to come over when my shift is over and we can hang out some more? I basically never see people my own age when I'm on a job, or we could just hang out in the lobby if that's not too psycho for you." "No, that would be amazing. I'll just hide the kitchen knives." "Great, see you in a bit, okay?" I got to my room, unpacked, and then an hour later, there was a knock at the door. "Who is it?" "It's me, Gianna." I opened the door. "Hey, no wig, no knife, come on in." "So, are you close with Trinity?" Gianna asked as she sat on my bed. I exhaled. "No, not at all. My parents passed away a few months ago, and my godparents adopted me." I could see Gianna open her mouth to say something, but I was tired of condolences, so I interrupted her. They want me to stay close to my family, so we've been doing rounds visiting relatives. I've never even knew that I had. I think Trinity is my second cousin, so visiting her was really more of an excuse to stay in a picturesque place. What you like? Well, we butt heads a lot. She's sort of a queen bee, and she expects everybody else to fall in line, and she's dating this guy named Dominic, who's even worse. I gotcha. Well, maybe she'll get along with me better since I'm just visiting. Do you have a boyfriend too? Gianna nodded. His name is Evan. I'll introduce you to him. How about you? No, I only started my new school this semester and I haven't met anybody yet. I'm still finding my friend group. I have really only had one friend, and that's my cousin, Savannah Burke, who also loves theater as much as I do. Well, I'll introduce you to my friends tomorrow. I smiled. What are they like? Gianna smiled. My best friend Ariana worked at the antique store that her mom owns down the street. She's in a band. Cool. My aunt Amber plays the guitar. She has special picks aside for me to use as an accommodation for my cerebral palsy. What does Ariana play? She's a drummer. They have a rehearsal after school, so you can come if you have time. They always want more of an audience. Okay. The next song that we're playing is That Thing You Do from the movie That Thing You Do.
You know what? We're actually just about out of time. Oh. We're out of here at 6:30, so I think we're going to close.
I'm sorry about that.
No, it's okay. We still have a minute, but we're going to end with Heartbreak Hotel, right?
Yes.
That's the Elvis Presley version, right?
We are ending with Heartbreak Hotel by Elvis Presley, which was requested by my husband, Matt.
I just want to thank you both so much for being here. This has been so much fun. Stars from Manhattan to Stars Hollow podcast takeover with Janine and Kathleen.
Thanks.
Join me next month for another episode of The Love Ship. It will be the grand finale. So please tune in. It's going to be awesome. We're doing the whole body. All right. Heartbreak Hotel.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that Heartbreak Hotel, where I'll be just so lonely, baby. Well, I'm so lonely, I'll be just so lonely, I could die. Although it's always crowded, you still can find some room for broken-hearted lovers to cry there in the gloom. So I'll be just so lonely, baby. I'll be just so lonely. I'll be so lonely, I'll make it die. Now the bellhop's tears keep flowing, the desk clerk's dressed in black. Well, they've been so long on the street, they'll never look back. And think it's so, I'll be just so lonely, baby. Well, they're so lonely. Well, they're so lonely, I'll make it die. Well, if your baby leaves you, you got a tale to tell. Well, just take a walk down Lonely Street to Heartbreak Hotel, where you will be, but you'll be just a lonely baby. Well, you'll be lonely, you'll be so lonely, you could die. Lonely, baby, but it's so lonely. It'll be so-